how does God chasten unrepentant believers? Basically, there are these passages. The first one, if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 11:29-31, there are three stages when God chastens a believer. And chastisement is like spanking. In fact, Hebrews 12, I told you last time, actually Hebrews 12, the word in Hebrews 12 that describes God's chastening is a terrible word. It's the word scourge. It's the word basinatsia. It means to really harm. God says, I will harm believers in their earthly physical life if they won't repent of their sins. See, this sin all I want with Jesus' permission is not true. Jesus wants more holy living than we're aware of. Yes, he's gracious. He will forgive us 70 times 7 to the 10th power. But we have to be repentant and contrite and not covering our sin. We have to say the same thing about our sin God does. But if we won't, 1 Corinthians 11, look at the context. By the way, 1 Corinthians 11, the context is the Lord's Supper. See, that's why this I mentioned that any church discipline is done in the context of the Lord's Supper, which means it's only believers. Communion is only for believers. It's not putting it in the Kalamazoo Gazette, you know, the sin list of everybody. It is saying to the family, a brother or sister is overcome with this sin, and you need to pursue them, and they haven't repented. We need to put them out and let the devil work on them. Well, what does it say? 29, I'll read it to you. He who eats or drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks the judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. What is that? Verse 29 says, if you continue at the Lord's table, smiling and singing, worthy is the Lamb, and taking part in communion, and there's this secret sin, that the first thing the Lord does is he brings an unnatural physical weakness to the sinning, hiding their sin believer's body. That word weakness means there's no explanation for it. It is from the Lord. And it says, for this reason many are weak, verse 30. Many. How many people were in the Corinthian church? About 100. Paul was pastoring this church, and many of them, because they lived, by the way, if you ever go to Corinth, the center of town was the gymnasium, the Pan Ionian and Pan Isthmian games were there, and they did all their practice. Remember I told you they practiced with no clothes on. And the people were overwhelmed with constant allurements of the flesh. And so there was much struggle with sexual sin in the Corinthian church. And out of those 100 people, many were weak and sick. The second level, it appears that there's a ratcheting. It starts with weakness, it goes to sickness, and it ends with untimely death. And that pattern, we'll see, shows up again. Okay, turn to, we're already there in James 5:19, but I'll just point out to you the same concept in the first New Testament epistle in James 5. You might have missed the little word it says there. Actually, it's in verse 20. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death. Untimely death. So you notice, at the Lord's table, this chastening is referred to. In James, in the earliest New Testament epistle, now look at one of the final New Testament epistles, 1 John 5, has the very same thing. If anyone sees his brother, remember this is believers, we're always talking about believers here. Unsaved people can merely sin to their last breath, and God says, you're going to receive the recompense, the reward for what you're doing. You know, it's like I was watching someone witnessing last night a video of them, and this person was just spewing bile at them. They were saying, and finally the unsaved person just says, you know, called down for God to strike them on the spot. He didn't. They're going to suffer the consequences of their sin. He doesn't have to, you know, rev up a lightning bolt just for them. They're already, you know, receiving the due recompense. But if a believer, a brother, is sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he, that's God, will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I don't say that you should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. What is that? Well, it appears that you can go through this stage, and at any moment that you repent, it stops. And then you can go through this stage, and at any moment that you repent, it stops. In fact, I've seen people over the last 35 years that have repented, and it's almost like they had a transplant. They just are boom-o. They're like overnight. I mean, they look next to death, and a week later you see them, and it's like, what happened to you? Are you the same person? The chastening hand of the Lord is removed, and there's a remarkable resurgence of health. But you can get too far, and that's what 1 John is saying, that there are some sins that persisted in too long through too much chastening, they lead to death, and it can't be stopped. The Lord just takes them out. And an untimely death. And here's the final one. Look at Revelation 2. And we could maybe just look at the last one. But Revelation 2. By the way, Revelation, never forget, Revelation 2 and 3 is Jesus Christ visiting his church. This is Jesus coming back after all the epistles were written, after the gospels, after the church has existed for two generations. Jesus is coming around visiting his churches. And it's his report card on how they're doing. And in chapter 2, verses 21 to 23, this is what it says. And I gave her, that's this Jezebel that's in verse 20, I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality. By the way, sexual immorality is always either number one or number two on every sin list in the New Testament. Sexual immorality is a pervasive struggle, and how true it is in our own world. It's not gotten any lighter or easier or lessened. She would not repent of her sexual immorality. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed. So this Jezebel goes from weakness to sickness. That's all that is said in Revelation 2. And those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds, and I will kill her children with death. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches. What is the context of this? Is he killing some poor Thyatirans that have never heard of Christ? No, this is in the church. You say, not in the church. Yes, in the church. There are people within the Thyatiran church that were singing all the choruses, that were carrying big Bibles, and were living in sexual immorality. And the Lord said, if they don't repent, I'm going to kill them. Now, I'm glad I didn't write this, because it would be hard to square that with loving Jesus. But that's how much he loves us. He will not let us live to the end like we're an unbeliever.